Good evening, everyone. Our second attempt at Sunday's conference call, and I think we've got it down pretty well. I can see that you're here, John. Would you like to say good evening?
Good evening, everyone. Been looking forward to tonight. I'm sure we'll have a great time.
I can see by the phone numbers basically who's here as I'm starting to memorize more of your numbers. So tonight's conference call, we were going to have Kathy W., who is not going to be with us tonight, but bless her little heart. I've known her about 6 years. She's on a third marriage. I think she's on her honeymoon. She would not pick up the phone. We were also going to have Nicole, and she was going to discuss the soap, and she sent me about 6 panic emails that she didn't realize her grandmother was taking her to her uncle's to Chicago for Brazilian food. So we've got some substitute guests tonight who are going to fill those voids, but our main speaker, Ellen, is here with us, and I think without further ado, I'm going to let Ellen talk. I'd just like to say one thing before we start. We have a lot of people here tonight, so if you have questions for the person who is talking at the time, when they are done, they will field them. If you have general questions for John or myself or even Peter, they'll be answered at the end of this show. So everyone, just try to stay patient. We're going to try to get as much information out there tonight to you as is humanly possible. So without further ado, Miss Ellen, are you there?
I am. I'm here. Hello, everybody. I'll just start, I guess, and I said a little bit last week, but I'm going to assume that most people weren't there, so if I repeat myself, there's some things that I think are worth repeating. Mel wanted me to talk a little bit about maybe my journey and how I was able to get well in a short period of time, and I'm happy to do that. I think, like many of you, I didn't know what hit me when I got this. I didn't understand it. Very mysterious, and I just read a lot of things on the internet, and my daughter had been in touch with Mel, and we talked a little bit about there are other protocols out there, and so I decided to try this, and Mel and Peter coached me along the way, and it seems like I was better before a year was out, but I didn't say that I was better because I was too afraid to say that I was better in case my symptoms came back. But most of my symptoms were gone within a few months, and then I just kept taking the supplements just to make sure that, and I took the MMS for a whole year, and I took the supplements for a whole year. But I think I was better long before then. And maybe that's just, you know, for other people, after your symptoms are gone, you may want to think about extending the protocol just to make sure. And I owe a lot to this site, and I, even though I've been, it's been about exactly 2 years since I first got sick, I read the posts every day. I still read them. I don't comment that much, but I read everything, and I encourage people to do that because if you wait and you don't read it for a week or two, it's too much information, I think. So if you can at least read everything that's new when people post, I think that will help a lot. I'm not sure exactly what to focus on tonight, but I can tell you that I didn't really deviate from this protocol. I was too afraid. And I think fear can work for some people. It worked for me. I wasn't able to spend time with my family, and that was devastating. And the loneliness and isolation just, I was determined this was not how I was going to live my life. So what I've said in a lot of my posts is I think we can all do something if it's temporary, and I felt like this was something I was going to get through. I was going to get better. I never had the thought that I wouldn't get better, and I think that's really important too. But I focused on doing everything exactly in terms of the timing of when I took my supplements, what I ate, everything was it was pretty much what I posted online here, and you know, I really didn't cheat at all. I was too afraid. I remember, so I started first with the supplements in September, then maybe it was November 1st, I started on the MMS, and the following April, I remember going to my brother's house, and it was Easter, and I had a little piece of a chocolate egg, and that was the first time I had anything with sugar in it since September. That's how rigid I was. And I think that that rigidity, when you're sick, is really important. Once you get better, and I added fruit, and then I started to add other grains, and I could have maybe coffee once in a while. But in the beginning, I didn't go off the plan at all. And I think that focus helped me too, because I think I needed that kind of focus. I needed to be, I need to have a plan that I could stick with. And it helped me a lot. And I kept reading, and I kept cleaning, and I kept taking the supplements and the MMS. All I can say to people is, as difficult as it may seem, I really don't think there's anything special about me. I'm not super strong. I just think that given this is a plan that works. You know, everybody, if you have the opportunity to do it, really should commit to it. So I think that's my main message, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Well, are there other things that you want to talk about, or you want to field questions now about when you were going through it? Because I know that there were other things that you mentioned that you wanted to discuss, and you're going to have that opportunity. So go ahead. Let's field questions on when Ellen was sick, and anybody who has a question, just say your name, and then you speak, and when you're done, someone else can say their name, and they'll speak. So if anybody has a question for Ellen about the time she was dealing with Morgellons, now's a good time to ask.
I have a question.
What is your name?
This is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Hi. Good. I have a question about diet. How did you figure out what foods would help you get better faster? I know everyone is pretty much on board with no sugar, no wheat, no processed foods. And there's just a lot of conflicting information about what's left, you know.
Sure.
With the Candida diet, that seems to be helpful. But it also says mm-hmm. things like no rice and only quinoa. And I don't seem to have a strong reaction to rice. And so I'm just wondering what you found to be very helpful and how you went about doing that.
Okay. I'm happy to answer that. I think if you look at the Candida diet and also maybe a paleo diet, it's a combination of those two. I think one of the things I did is I printed out alkaline versus acid foods, and I tried to keep my diet alkaline. I also, I read a lot of what other people ate, and for the most part I could tolerate, you know, that things like quinoa and brown rice. I didn't eat a lot of rice. And I didn't eat many grains, but there are a lot of things like quinoa is not a grain, it's a seed. And amaranth is a seed. And they function the same as rice. So if you felt like you were having a protein, say a piece of chicken or fish, and you needed to add with vegetables and you really wanted something that felt like a carbohydrate, you can stick with those. And the other thing you could print out is there's a low glycemic index kind of food list. And, you know, sugary foods obviously are the worst. And then if you keep a list like that and you choose from the lowest sugar in terms of even things like vegetables, like I had carrots and beets, and some people never have those. They're higher in sugar, and I did have squash. I never had sweet potatoes or white potatoes. I never ate any white foods, white flour or white rice. And I really didn't eat flour. I didn't eat dairy. They make substitutes for everything, and that's kind of amazing. Like anything that you really wanted to use, you can find a substitute. A lot of dairy-free foods, it makes a huge difference when you go grocery shopping. I did have things like Ezekiel products. They're made with sprouted grains, so I was able to eat those, and those are sold in the frozen section. So I had a really what I ate is on the website. If you did a search, I list exactly what I ate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But for the most part, I had salads for lunch with a protein. For dinner, I might have another protein with lots of vegetables, and I might have a grain and lots of soup. And for breakfast, sometimes I had eggs, and sometimes I made a smoothie with whatever I had, almond milk, and I put spinach or kale, and then some. Now I put banana in my smoothie, but I didn't do any of that in the beginning. I really didn't have fruit in the beginning at all. You know, maybe 4 or 5 months down the road, I had some green apples, and I would cut apples in half and just bake them in the oven with a little cinnamon, you know, if I really wanted something sweet. So I think finding something that you really like to eat, and if you feel like it's not on the plan, try to find a substitute for it. They make cheese out of, I think it's an almond cheese. They make a lot of dairy substitutes. You can usually find those in most grocery stores, but I'm not a cheese person, so that didn't bother me too much. And I think there's recipes on the website for pizza crust, for example. If that's your thing and you think, I'll never have pizza again, first of all, you will because you'll get better. But the other thing is you can make a really good substitute for almost anything. And it requires a little research. One more thing I want to say about food is I was really sick in the beginning, and I was tired, and I was working, and I was overwhelmed. And I called up a friend who is a really good vegan cook, and she uses all organic ingredients. And I went to her, and I said, can I pay you to make dinners for me? And she wouldn't let me pay her, but for about 3 months, she made me probably 3 or 4 suppers. And I would pick them up once every 2 weeks in containers. And I encourage you to really reach out to people in your life that you need. A lot of people that I've talked to say, well, I don't have anyone to help me, or I don't have anyone that understands what I'm going through. There's got to be people out there that if you are honest with what you're going through, will help you out. And I tell people that this woman saved my life. What she really did was she didn't question. I did tell her what I had, and she didn't question me. And she just was matter-of-fact, you know, I would pick up food at her house, and I would just cry because I was so grateful. And it made all the difference in the world to have to go shopping and then prepare your own food. And some of you have children, and you're busy, and that can be overwhelming. But really think outside the box in terms of who can help you and ask people for help. It really is going to be a temporary situation in your life. It's okay to ask for help.
Okay, if I may interject at this moment, Nancy is relatively new, correct, Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, so one of the mantras of our website is that everybody's body is different. And I always talk about moderation and slow and steady. We have a dietary section that is massive, and it's under articles and diet. And then there are breakfast, lunch, dinners, snacks, soups, drinks. You take that and the two diets that Ellen was talking about, and you start to find things that you think you'll enjoy, and it's going to make that part of the journey less of a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take time. There's lots of information to ingest, but there is a great articles and dietary section for you to utilize.
Can I say one more thing about that? I did have some food that I would buy off
the shelf.
I would buy off the shelf. For example, if you have a Trader Joe's near you, buy things pre-made that you know, they have a lot of organic foods. Things that are just, they may be frozen. you know, so that if you're exhausted and you don't have to make everything from scratch, try to buy something. And I just read the ingredients in every single thing I bought, so that now I just go to the stores and I know exactly what to get. And they make a really good lentil soup with ancient grains, and that's good. And then I make that from scratch because I tried to copy it. They make a lot of really nice things in the Kroger section too. So if you can get something that you can just throw on the table when you're tired, I think people are overwhelmed with just preparing all this food. Another thing I think is really important is people have said, well, I eat a certain way, but my husband and my children won't eat this way. So that's a challenge, but you can do it. If you find foods that your family wants, for example, if you buy organic chicken and you have vegetables with that and you have a salad, most people eat that way. I don't think that we should feel like these foods are strange and exotic and you have to eat different than everybody. I used to go out to eat because that's how my family celebrates birthdays and occasions, and I always found something to eat at a restaurant because they always have vegetables. Like, you can ask for vegetables with no sauce or anything on them. They always have salads, and sometimes I would get a piece of fish with that or chicken, and I kept it really simple. And any restaurant that you go to would have things to choose from. I think it's too hard to feel like your life is over and you can't live a normal life if you eat this way. You will be so much healthier if you eat this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I this all came to the forefront when I gave up dairy. And so I don't have a problem with giving up things that probably aren't helpful to begin with. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of, I have been eating fruit because I guess I feel that it has so many beneficial qualities, and I don't eat certain kinds of fruit. I eat the kinds that were, I think I saw your post with your list of foods, and I find that watermelon's okay, and mangoes, and of course I have the lemon in the water, and mm-hmm. And the green apples. I think it's pretty much that. I'm not really eating many other types. Bananas I definitely can't eat, and so I think the vitamin C is very helpful.
Sure.
But I'm not having a reaction to it, so I guess that's the litmus test, so to speak. And
what you might want to do is print out the glycemic index, which tells you which fruits have the most sugar. I never had watermelon. I never had anything. I didn't even have green apples in the beginning. I had, for 5 or 6 months, I didn't have any fruit at all. And if you're really craving things that you feel like are nutritious with lots of vitamins, you can find the same equivalent in a vegetable. Like, there's a vegetable that has vitamin C. Choose that maybe instead of fruit. And it may be that you can have some fruit, but I didn't. I just was trying to be really clean and really limit that. And I added those things down the road. But there's so many beneficial vegetables that will give you the exact same nutrients as that fruit that you like. So you might want to think about that.
Mm-hmm. Let me just say this at this point. When you are on the protocol, Nancy, you are getting all the vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that your body requires. That's why this protocol is extensive and so balanced. So, again, when it comes to fruits, man, that's a very dangerous thing because everybody's body is different, and something you can tolerate and someone else might have a very bad time with. When I was ill, I ate 2 fruits, period, end of story, and only because they were the highest fruits of antioxidants. I really didn't think about the sugar content too much, but I wanted to keep getting cleaner inside, so I ate a lot of blueberries and I ate strawberries, and that's it. And now I eat apples. I'm better, okay? I eat pears. I love pineapples. But those were things I never eat bananas at all anymore. I mean, ever. I don't know why. It's just my instincts tell me not to. Mm-hmm. Again, everybody's body is different. You go slow and steady when you try new things. In other words, you make a portion of food. Don't eat the whole portion the first time you try it. Eat a portion of that portion to see how your body responds. Go ahead, Ellen. Mm-hmm.
I think Nancy wanted to say something.
Yeah, I think part of it might be just a change in the to have that variety, because, you know, it's just eating always vegetables and rice and stuff, and just that having that fruit, it just makes you feel like...
Yeah, well, get some blueberries. They're great.
Yeah.
And again, it's temporary. I had a very limited diet in the beginning because I knew that I wasn't going to have to do this forever. But for that period of time, I was really strict. And I think that makes a difference.
I think it makes a huge difference to be as strict as humanly possible going through this course that you're going to be undertaking. You can have everything you ever wanted again. In fact, I'll tell you, every single one of you, when we're done tonight, I have Sunday dinner, chicken parmesan. So just get better first and get everything back, but in moderation.
Right.
I have one more thing I wanted to say, and I don't know if this isn't for Nancy or anyone in particular, but Mel and I had talked about sometimes when we are coaching people on the phone, it seems as if people are so, first of all, everybody's distraught, everybody's exhausted, and everybody's scared. And I think there's a tendency to tell us what we might want to hear versus what's actually going on. And it's really important to just be really honest with yourself. It doesn't matter if you tell us the truth or not. What's important is that you're honest with yourself. And if you mess up, it's okay. You're not a bad person. But I was, you know, sometimes wondering why more people weren't getting better. And I think some of it is because this is difficult to follow. And what we hear is that I do everything according to this protocol. I do everything according to the dietary plan. And I'm not sure that everybody's completely honest. And I want to say, forgive yourself if you screw up. It's okay. You can just get right back on the plan. But be really honest about what you're doing and what you're not doing that might be hampering your ability to get better, because we can only help you if we have accurate information. And something that you might not be taking the MMS according to, I follow that exactly. You know, when I took it, how much water I took. People tend to want to tweak the protocol a little bit, and I would advise you not to do that, because I think this is, we're like guinea pigs. We're experimenting on ourselves because there isn't any kind of medical treatment that works, but everybody's getting better that follows this, and if you can stick to it as close as you can and be honest with yourself about what you might not be doing that, you know, that follows that plan, it would be interesting if everybody just said, okay, I'm going to be really honest about what I'm doing and what I'm not doing. And, you know, the goal is to get better and not to feel bad if you didn't follow something or if you lapsed on some part of the protocol. We all really care that you get better. That's the message here. Everybody wants you to get better.
Let me say that we have the FAQs, and in the FAQs are the five most common reasons that people don't achieve desired results. Well, in order to know what the five reasons really were, of course, I had to break those five rules. Doing so, it took me 18 months to get better. Ellen, who obviously was equally or more afraid to die than I was, she didn't break any rules. She got better in 13 months. So, again, being honest with yourself. I wrote those five reasons, guys, so I did all those mistakes. You don't have to do them. You just have to be more disciplined, I guess, than I was. and as disciplined as those who are getting well in this short period of time are. Ellen.
You know, every once in a while someone would say to me, well, I must have been much sicker than you were in the beginning. I was so sick I couldn't drive. I was dizzy and nauseous, and it was not pretty. And I might have had different, I didn't have a lot of lesions. Mine seemed to be in my gut mostly, but it was a really terrifying time. And I think maybe the fear of not getting better was just what I focused on. That that kind of propelled me forward. But I was pretty sick.
I'm sorry, but may I please ask a question?
Sure. What's your name?
All right. This is Freeman. So I'm good, man. God's good. So my scenario is really weird. I got cured of this. It took me about a month, and I got fully healed from it already. I have no symptoms. Everything. It was kind of weird because I've been really healthy in the past, and my fiance is she still has all the symptoms and stuff like that as well. And what happened was I followed the just eating habits. And I followed it for about, how long was it? I followed it for like a week. And actually, in that whole week, all the crazy stuff happened to me. It's all glory to God. And then, actually, I have had no symptoms since. So, my question is, I'm nervous to try, foods again. Really? Last night was the first time I actually had sugar again, and I still had no symptoms.
Okay, let me answer your question, okay?
Yes, sir.
When you get well, okay, and obviously you must have caught it in the first day, but whatever you did worked, and God bless you. Now, if you want to reintroduce foods again, slow and steady and small portions, and your body will tell you what's good and what's not.
Yeah.
I also wanted to suggest that because we don't know that much about this whole organism, it could be dormant in our systems if we're not, careful. So when you feel better, you might want to keep on the supplements. I don't know if you're taking MMS and the supplements. Keep doing it long after you think you're better as a precaution. That could be really helpful because I think this is too mysterious. I don't think we know everything about it. And you wouldn't want to, you wouldn't want to start, changing back to your eating habits too soon.
Yeah, I'm actually scared to change back to my eating habits. To tell you the truth, I don't really think it's worth it because, eating like this and, I never really felt this good before in my life. It's definitely been keeping me sharper. It's been helping me. The thing I've been worried about the most is, my fiance is still has a lot of crawling. She's still going through it. I don't know, if I'm being there is going to affect her in some way or anything like that too, So I'm really precautious about that. And like you said, we don't really know much about this. We just know that the Lord heals us. If you call on the Lord Christ, Lord Jesus, and stay on the protocol, But I just wanted to ask that question.
Is she on the protocol also?
Yes.
Hi, this is Shari. I'm fiance of Freeman. I'm actually just ending my second week of the protocol, starting my third week. In the interest of accountability and being honest, like you said, Ellen, I never thought that this was even a thing, but I think I'm a sugarholic. I think I have a problem with sugar because my body necessarily does not crave it. I don't feel like a craving per se, but I even in the foods or vegetables or things that I'm eating, I still am thinking about you know, when I go to 7-Eleven and I get a hard-boiled egg instead of, like, a donut or whatever, I'm still thinking about the donut, like, pretty much the entire day. I never, ever had this kind of issue before. I never even thought that this would be an issue. And I pray to God, and I say, I can do all things through you, Lord, you know. And I'm struggling. Like, I can't believe I'm struggling, because I know how important it is to stay on the diet. I mean, the ironic thing is I'm doing the diet completely, but I still randomly have this sugar food. And I can't seem to, cut myself off of it.
Okay, well, let me cut you off for a second and say that sugar is food for the disease. You continue to eat sugar in any shape or form, you will not get well. You will have to sit down with yourself and the Lord and talk about this, because you have to give up sugar. You are feeding the disease.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And the other thing, Sherry, is you probably haven't been eating this way for a long time. You just started?
Yeah, I started.
I think your cravings are going to go away. I think the longer you stay on it, your cravings will go away, and you may be addicted to sugar. Sugar is a really addictive substance, and everything has sugar in it. If you try to get rid of all the types of sugar, it's in everything. And so our bodies are addicted to it for many of us. So the longer you stay away from it, the more those cravings will subside, I think. And it's okay. If you feel like you have an addiction to sugar, then don't beat yourself up about that. That's just going to be a challenge for you.
Yeah.
Okay. John, would you like to add anything about sugar?
Well, I was going to say, if you have an addiction to sugar, then welcome to America. America has an addiction to sugar. And it's been, growing love affairs. It's been growing over the last year. But that's why we lead the world in cancer pills. It's not just for gallons that sugar feeds, it's a lot of other things. And so, whether you have been challenged with more gallons, fungal overgrowth, candida, which also can help you with organs, or any number of the different types of conditions that people are dealing with, sugar is very difficult, adds a lot of inflammation to the body, raises the level of insulin in the body, promotes acidic reactions throughout the body, and the body has to respond to that. The way we're built, we were designed so that we keep a constant pH in the blood when we're up against acidic issues in the body. The body responds to harvesting minerals that are out from the bones to extinguish those acid flakes. That's why there's such an issue, the growing issue, osteopenia, osteoporosis in our health. So and sugar is just a huge problem.
John is not coming in clearly.
Right, I was going to say that myself.
Yeah,
I doubt that you're not coming in really clearly, John. So
yes.
Why don't we, huh?
Yes.
Oh, that's better. Oh, much better.
Okay. Good.
Magic.
It was an experiment. I was just saying that sugar is an issue for everyone, whether you have Morgellons or not, and it causes all kinds of inflammatory responses in the body and sets you up for weakening your bones and, heart attacks, strokes, diabetes, all those things. And we lead the world in that because of our addiction to sugar. So you know, maybe more gallons if that's what it takes to, for a wake-up call to Shari, for you to finally confront this demon, then, you know, so be it. But it will be a blessing if you can do that. And it's definitely not easy. And you're not necessarily going to be able to just, you know, draw a line in the sand and never touch sugar again. For most people, it's an ongoing struggle. But to the degree you can remove it from your everyday life, your health will definitely benefit from that. I don't know where it happened, but somewhere along the line, we decided that everything we put in our mouth is supposed to be sweet, and at least in this culture. And that's definitely not the case. The best thing for you to drink is water with lemon or water with lime in it, because that will help alkalize your body and strengthen your bones, and it's just so much more healthy.
I have been doing
something about sugar. This is Charmaine. I was in the hospital, so I wasn't able to continue the protocol, and this devastated me. I came out, and I had to start all over again. Actually, it was harder. And I didn't have the proper foods here because I hadn't gone to the store. And I did something that I will never do again. I had a soda, and I thought for 9 hours that I was seriously going to die. My body went into shock. I really thought I was dying. I was crying, and I'm not a one to go that route. I was crying, and I said, "My God, what did you do?" My stomach was turning inside out. I was throwing up. I mean, it was horrible. I don't want to see a soda or sugar again as long as I live. It's always going to bypass me. It's always going to be there in some form or another. But I will never, ever take it in a lump. This evening, and then I'll end, I had some small yellow and red peppers steamed, some quinoa, which I had for the first time in my life, with brown rice, and just a small, because I'm Mexican, so I like my spice, small teaspoon of organic salt in it to spice it up. I felt like I had gone to heaven. It was so good.
Yeah. It's really important, and this is for everybody, to eat the foods that you like and find substitutes for the things that you can't eat anymore. So if you like curry, I like spicy food. I put cayenne, I put turmeric and everything, and I use a lot of spices, you know, because that's the kind of food I like. And so if you were to cut out every food that you like and then drastically eat differently, I think that's just really too hard. So you have to be able to eat the food you like and adapt it, meaning less acidic food. Soda is the most acidic thing you can possibly ingest. So if you look on the alkaline spectrum and you try to eat organic and pick foods that you like, and then try to make that food, you just adapt it to the protocol. Because if you can't stick to this food plan, you're going to be really discouraged. And
well, what sugar has
something really nice.
What sugar has done is turned our taste buds so far off that we don't know what taste really is. When I had an organic lemon, I said, "Where has this been all my life?"
Right.
I never,
yeah.
I mean, literally ate almost straight to the skin, and then I took the skin and put it in water. That's how good it was. And
well,
I feel
you can
like
turn your taste buds back on.
For life.
I really think you can do that.
Yeah. Excuse me, let me interrupt here again. Forgive me. Ellen, I'm sure there's some other subjects that you're going to want to talk about, and we have two other guests. So if you would move along, we're going to do another teleconference call next month, and it's going to be the people from Sovereign Silver, and it's going to be called Why Sovereign Silver, and then we're going to have an open forum. And before Christmas, we're going to get at least one more in called Food, Glorious Food, and that whole show is going to be dedicated to people sharing recipes and things about food. So there were other things you told me, Ellen, you wanted to talk about, and if we could, I'd like to kind of move forward.
So you're going to have to remind me, Mel.
Mel.
I don't remember, so you're going to have to remind me.
Mel,
you were talking to me about talking to people about when they get better and how there's an adjustment in that lifestyle as well, remember?
This is just an interesting thing that happened to me. I was struggling with, like, when I was sick, I thought, when I get better, my life is going to be so different. I'm going to make such a difference in people's lives. And I had this idea that, like, my problems that I had everything was going to change once I got better. And then what I shared with Mel was that, you know what, the same issues you have are still there. The same kinds of people in your life. So there's an adjustment to the healthy person. When you get healthy, that I thought my life was going to be drastically different, and I'm dealing with the same things, and that's okay, but be prepared for, I was just thinking that, 2 years from when I first got sick, somehow, my life was going to magically become something else, and my life is the same. So it's interesting. I don't know whether that's good or bad. It's just kind of interesting. And I wasn't prepared for that.
Mel, I have one question to ask Ellen that we tried to talk about the last conference call, if I could.
This is Lisa from
Jacksonville, Florida. Ellen, we tried to talk about the laundry in the last time, and I have I've been battling this disease for almost 3 years now, and I have beat it down really well with the supplements. I since have started on the full protocol and taken everything properly. I went to organic overnight. I am sticking to it because I'm determined to beat it. But one of the things I had mentioned to you was I have thrown away so many clothes from not being able to get the fibers and what have you not out of the clothes. Now, again, I don't shed a whole lot of anything now, but I still do. I have been using borax, and I use a lot of it, and that does seem to help. And what would you suggest along with the borax that people could use to help pull the fibers and so forth out of their clothing instead of constantly throwing them away and feeling like you're always, even though you wash your clothes, you're putting on dirty clothes because that's how you feel.
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you what I did, okay? And everybody, has things that they think work better for them. What I did was once I thought my house was infested, nothing ever stayed in the laundry basket. Every time I wore something, it went in the washing machine. When I woke up in the morning, I washed my bedding every day. I would put everything in the washer with a little bit of borax, some Arm & Hammer detergent. I used a little bit of ammonia in the beginning. I don't use that anymore, and it's not the best. It's really, a little too toxic. Peter used Odaban, and I think that really helps. Once I found Clean Green, I would put a little bit of that in the wash, and that seemed to be what worked for me. I didn't use a lot of borax. That's a laundry booster. So anyway, I would wash it in that, and then it would go into the dryer for a really long time at the hottest temperature. Everything would go into a sealed plastic container. So no clothes ever touched anything. Everything was, you know, it was either in a bag or it was in a plastic bin. And then months down the road, I started being able to hang up my clothes in the closet. But I threw away 3/4 of my clothing. I started wearing polyester and synthetic, and I never liked those kind of clothes, but I think in the beginning it made a difference. I think things like wool and natural fabrics may be just more difficult to rid of fibers. So I was really careful about having everything. It was always zipped up. It was always contained. And the clean green is really good to put in the wash. A lot of people use MMS, and I mentioned last week, I didn't want to have to measure anything, so I didn't use MMS in the laundry. But I think the Borax is good, what you're already doing. Arm & Hammer laundry detergent is cheap, and so is Odaban. And those work. And a little bit of, if you don't have clean green, I used it to spray the inside of my coat and my boots. I sprayed my car every morning when I was leaving the house. And you can spray your furniture. It doesn't hurt any surface. So it's a really good, it's expensive, but you dilute it a lot, and it really helps. And it's good for all kinds of things.
So you use the Odaban in your car and on your furniture as well?
No, I just sprayed clean green.
Oh, the clean green, okay.
That's what I used primarily because it's in a spray bottle. You can spray upholstery. I washed my floors every day. And I know that sounds crazy, but I didn't know what was infecting me, and I didn't know what was in my house. So I tore up all my carpeting, and I put down the wood composite floors, and I have tile in the rest of my house. And that's how I think that kept me focused, too, on whether I needed to throw out all my clothes or I needed to wash the floors every day. I really don't know. But it kept me focused. I felt like nothing is going to survive, my cleaning frenzy. And I think it made a difference.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Lisa, let me add this, okay? When I was ill, I couldn't afford a clean green, nor do I even know if I really knew about it. I think people started putting it on my website back as far as 3 years ago. So I used MMS on everything. I also bleached out a lot of T-shirts. Now, I never threw any of my clothes away, okay? And when you get better, you're not going to have any effect on your clothing at all. So I don't know that anybody has had great success just using something like Borax, okay? But I know that everybody's had success using Clean Green, who can afford it, and using MMS for those who are less fortunate financially. So I think that either one of those options is going to serve you very well.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question about the laundry, and I've been reading a lot in the forums about people seeing these fibers on their clothes. I have had this probably for about 2 months, like I said, on my second week on the protocol. This is Sherry, but and I wanted to know, we don't obviously have pictures, and I really don't want to look at the horror sites, that we often refer to, of Mordulin fibers or whatever. So I'm not even sure if I have any fibers in my clothing or not. And I don't really have any way to necessarily tell that. I have been what I call plastic bagging it, and it's great to hear that somebody used a plastic bin, which may be effective for me and with my system because the plastic bag system is going crazy. But the fibers themselves, do they get into the plastic bags? And if I were to look for these fibers, do they look different than, for instance, the color of clothing that they were in?
Sherry.
Yes?
Focus on getting well, and the fibers will disappear.
Okay.
Okay? It doesn't matter what they look like. The only thing that's important, and I've said it thousands of times, and Ellen said it maybe 20 times tonight, the only thing that's important is you get well.
Okay. Thanks.
Forget about things you cannot change, but you can get better.
Okay.
Good. Anything else you'd like to say, Ellen?
Could I ask another question?
Okay.
This is Nancy again. You mentioned that you were working. Were you working full time?
I worked 3 days a week, and the days that I went to work, I don't know how I kept my job because I wasn't putting in, I was making an appearance. Let's put it that way. And I would go in late, and I would leave early, and then I would just come home, and I would do my laundry, and it was like this crazy roller coaster. But as I got better, then I got back to my hours, and it was hard working 3 days. There are some people who say I have a full-time job, and I don't know if I could have done that because I needed to rest, and I didn't see my family and friends. When you live by yourself, it can be isolating, but when you live by yourself, you can really control your environment. So that may be another reason I got better. I didn't have children who weren't eating right or weren't willing to follow things. I just worried about myself. So the work was okay, and I think it really helped me. I think if I was home every day, I would have become very depressed. Work was good for me to do, and so I'm really blessed that I was able to have that job. And I didn't have to, when I got sick, I really didn't feel like I was too sick to work. I don't know if I was, I don't know what my coworkers thought of me, but I got through it, and I did the best I could, but I was pretty sick.
How did you, was the job full-time and you went to 3 days, or was it a three-day job?
No, it was a three-day job.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, let me say this. One of the reasons that people don't get well is they can't get enough rest. And it's a very important part of getting well because the body heals when you sleep. Sleep means naps and at night. Okay? Most people, and I say most, that in the 5.5 years that have had full-time jobs have gone to part-time. People who have had part-time jobs have kept them and told me the same thing that you just heard from Ellen. Some of them weren't sure how they kept their jobs. Again, it's going to depend on individual body, and strength and fortitude. But full-time, when you are required or you need to rest, if you won't, it will prolong your healing.
I just wonder how people are able to do that financially.
Very difficult. Very,
well,
very difficult.
Well, I'll speak to that if you don't mind. And I talk of this in my post also. There are people who say, well,
go on,
I can't afford the protocol.
Tell the people,
what?
Ellen, you said that a few times. Before you go on, give them the names of the threads that you've posted in so they can find your information.
I think if you in the search engine put in Ellen, it would come up. But one of them is a new warrior from Massachusetts. And I can't remember what the other one was. But I think my name comes up in the search engine. Anyway, I think that, there may be some people who may go into debt to get better. And then my feeling was, I may go into debt, but if I don't get better, I won't be able to work at all. So I didn't worry too much about the money I was spending because I felt like I didn't have a choice. I had to spend some money. But I didn't mention this in the beginning, but I thought I had an infestation of bed bugs, so I paid a pest control company $2,000 to come in my house. And then I realized that after a while that I didn't have bed bugs because 3 days later I was itching again. And they did refund a little bit of my money, but that was pretty devastating. I couldn't afford to spend that. And I charged that on my credit card. So
So those are the things you do to get better. I don't dwell on it. I don't feel bad that I have credit card debt. I needed to do that to get better. And you know, and then I can work more if I have to. But you can't do that if you're too ill. So, you know, some people are in a really, in a bind financially, and I understand that because I was also.
I just wonder if there's anybody who ever, you know, was able to take a leave of absence. It's difficult because you need usually a doctor to, a doctor's note of some sort to verify that you're ill, and finding somebody who will even acknowledge that this exists is difficult.
Where do you live?
I live in Northern Virginia.
Okay.
And I'm able to work, and I agree with your statement that I need it to some extent. I need to be with other people, and I need to be involved and active. But I feel like full time is, at times I'm able to keep up with the diet and the protocol, and I feel like today I was very tired, and I spent pretty much the whole day resting. But it's the other, you know, and I do the laundry and all that, but it's just the other stuff like cleaning every day. I don't have the energy.
No, it's hard.
I just wonder if there's anybody out there who found a way to get a leave of absence during these key months, you know, at the beginning when you're building up your strength. And
I don't know. I think it would depend on your employer. Where I live, there are a lot of companies and places that don't want you full-time because benefits are so expensive. So they would prefer to hire a few part-timers. They don't pay health insurance. And so, you know, having a part-time job is not that difficult to find.
Yeah, I couldn't live on the part-time job. So what my thinking is, you know, to find a way to get a leave of like two, three months to just focus on.
Yeah, I think that would depend on your employer.
Yeah. Okay, I just thought I'd ask.
You can pose that as a question on the website, which is going to have everybody's attention who comes there. But I'm pretty sure that you're going to need some cooperation from a doctor. Because I didn't jump in. You see, I do know of one person who was a teacher who got a leave of absence, but she got a doctor's note because the doctor actually is one of those what I call the Magnificent Seven. Seven doctors in the world that actually openly treat our disease, but none that I know of in your area.
I was reading some of the earlier posts, and there was one where John had posted two articles, and Amelia Withington is a doctor who used to be in Virginia but is now in Pennsylvania. But there's another one, James Matthews in Maryland. So I think I'm going to contact him tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, they're on the website. I believe he's a holistic doctor.
No, I was going to say chances of someone getting a leave of absence based on having more gallons are probably few and far between. But if you approach it from a standpoint of Lyme or whatever other co-infections you may be dealing with, your chances will definitely increase.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Does anyone know of a doctor in Jacksonville, Florida?
Whoa. No.
Does anyone know of a doctor in California?
No.
Well, on that article, there were some doctors listed at other parts of the country.
Right.
I mean, it's very early. It's like on page 24. And John posted two links to articles, and they were interviews with a Dr. Amelia Withington, and she listed about five different doctors, and there was one in California, but
Hi, there
how
is.
Far away from what part of California are you talking about, northern or southern?
I'm in southern, but I mean, I'll go anywhere. I don't care where it is. I'll go anywhere.
Well, there's a very good naturopath in Beaverton, Oregon, named Chris Meletis, M-E-L-E-T-I-S. And I don't know how long it would take you to get an appointment with him, but he is fantastic. And he's also a strong believer.
That's wonderful to hear.
And also in Garden Grove, there's a doctor on the website who, I didn't go there because he had a lot of scary pictures on his website, but he's been treating Morgellons, and he's an MD, and his name's Karju, K-A-R-J-O.
Oh, whoa, stop.
No?
N-G. N-G.
No good? Okay.
No good. Too many bad reports. Look, if you want to find these things, you email me. That's not what this show is about. And I'll do the best I can with the help of John B. to get the information. Okay?
Thank you.
But you start blurting out names of people who we've had hundreds of complaints about, that's not good. So we're going to stop this right here now. I'm sorry. Anybody needs help with a doctor, you get a hold of me through the email, and we'll do the best we can to give you someone, if it's possible, who's reputable.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. I'm sorry to do that, but some people are not what they're made out to be. Ellen, is there anything you'd like to say in close?
Well, in that same area, I think you do have to be careful who you trust. I saw Mass General Hospital in Boston as people from all over the world get treated there, and I called up and I said I wanted to see an infectious disease specialist and if he knew anything about Morgellons. They put me on hold, and they said yes, and they set up an appointment with me, and he was a crackpot. So, you know, early on, you have to navigate this thing with or without doctor's help. And it's not that they're terrible people, but I didn't spend a lot of time bemoaning why my doctor wasn't more sympathetic or why I couldn't find somebody in my area. You have to keep pushing on with, you know, curing yourself. If you get a doctor, great, but I really don't think my doctor, again, not a terrible person, but she wanted me to see a psychiatrist, and I changed doctors. And the doctor I have now, I didn't mention it at all. So you can get better without a doctor's help. And, you know, in a perfect world, there would be, you know, help within the medical community. It just isn't there right now. Maybe it will be.
Yeah.
I was going to say, out of the almost 1,000 people who have gotten well here, I would say that less than 1 or 2% of us were blessed with a doctor who had any clue. The rest of the people, they had to kind of do it on their own. And realistically, my doctor, God bless her, because she listened, she knew me, she knew I wasn't crazy. All she did was keep me from hurting myself by monitoring what I kept experimenting in the 2 years that I searched for a cure. So I always say to everyone that John is more responsible for me being here because of what he taught me about nutrition and vitamins and the inner parts of our body and things like that. It's not necessary to have a doctor. I'm sorry that there aren't more doctors that, you know, will do it. But there are a lot of people out there that really, they'll just take your money and you'll be back here anyway. So if I'd like Ellen to say whatever she'd like to say in close, and really we got to move on.
Okay. I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who called in and continue to read every day that you can. Read what's on the forum and post with. If you have a very specific question, just post your question, and people will get back to you. And because everybody does care, we want you to get better.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ellen. I've been looking forward to this for 2 weekends. And I truly appreciate the fact that you're well and yet you're sticking around. God bless you for that, Ellen.
Well, God bless you, Mel, because you started this whole thing. And I think we do have to think about, you know, moving forward. I have to say, it's a little bit like post-traumatic stress sometimes for me to think about it. I want to think about when I was sick. But it's really important that people who are going through something and they're struggling right now, you need to hear something positive. My life is pretty great, you know, and yours will be too.
Hey, Mel, this is Peter. Can I say something? Can I say something to Ellen real quick?
Hello, Peter.
Ellen, can you hear me?
I can.
I just want to let everybody know, I hope I don't get in trouble with you for this, but Ellen is the wonderful benefactor of a new baby grandchild, I think a couple weeks back. So I just wanted to congratulate you on your health and let everybody know that you're a grandmother and wish you well with that. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, thank you.
You deserve it.
Yeah, that's the incentive to get better, boy. You know, you got to be with your loved ones. That's what life is about.
Thanks for taking the time to be here tonight, too. A lot of great information.
Here. Thank you. Okay. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, Ellen. You're an inspiration, dear.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Okay. Is Miss Amber here?
I'm out.
Is that you, Amber?
Yes, I'm sorry. Sorry. Throwing me off the fact that I emailed you, but I made one more attempt and it just put it through. So if you lose me, you know why.
Okay, well, we're not able to hear you real well. Are you traveling in a car?
No, I'm at home. I don't know why I'm having trouble.
Okay, well, do you want us to come back to you in a couple of minutes and we'll move on?
Sure, I'll try and get better reception.
Okay, good, thanks. All right, Twiggy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Mo.
Thank you. Twiggy is going to talk tonight a little about the new soap, as she was one of the original six who tested it. So lots of you have been asking about the new topical soap because we've had such wonderful results with every one of the people who tested it. We brought it to the website. It's not expensive, and yet we think it's very helpful. So without any more of me, Twiggy, take it away.
All right, Mel. So I guess what I want to say about this new soap is it's really simple to use, and I've had really great results from it so far. It really brings things to the surface, and it really aerates your skin, almost like it doesn't make it sticky or anything like coconut oil, but I will tell you, it does keep you really, it keeps your skin really supple for things coming to the surface, and that's exactly what we want. So to use it, it's pretty simple. I was a little bit confused at first since Mel said it was a soap, and I was like, it's a soap that you don't wash off. You take it, you know, when you get out of the shower. What you do is basically when you're still dripping and your skin is still wet from the shower, you take a sponge and you apply the soap to the sponge. And then you lather it really nice and you apply the soap to your body. And here's the thing. You definitely want to make sure that you let it air dry. You don't want to wipe the soap off your body in any way with no towels, nothing like clothes to try to dry quicker. You definitely want to air dry, and once you're air dry, you can do whatever you want to warm yourself up, because I find myself very cold after this air drying. And it's not sticky, like I said, or anything on your skin, so you can leave it on until the next time you shower, which is the great part about this. It's not anything that smells really bad. It smells actually pretty good. And like I said, it brings things to the surface. I even put it on my face. I put it in my hair, and I massage it through my hair, just like I would coconut oil. And so far, I've seen reduced itching. After a few weeks of using it, I saw significantly reduced itching, actually. The acne on my face cleared up so much, and the softness of my hair and scalp and skin is, it's just absolutely phenomenal. So I'm pretty happy with it. And that's, I'm just feeling so much more cleaner with it, you know, and sleeping better at night because of the less itching. So it's a really great soap and a really good tool to have. And that's all I really have to say about that. It's,
this is the Nature Rich soap, correct?
Yeah. Right. I was just going to say that this is the new soap by Nature Rich. It's on the protocol page. Okay. As you scroll down to where the supplements and nutrients are, okay, and how to order it is there, and they set it up where I think one of their packages where they're offering four, which is probably enough for about, I think, maybe 6 months, is the least expensive way to buy it, because you're not shipping it every month and a half or so. So you should look at this, guys. It makes the exfoliation of our disease simpler, easier, and less painful.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it sounds weird that you should stand there dripping wet, the soap lather all over you, okay? But I assure you that that's how it works. You don't dry it off. When you're dry, you don't have to wipe down. Just put your clothes back on and go about your business. But what it does for your skin is phenomenal. And the way it's going to alleviate some of the itching is going to be a great benefit to a lot of you. So, unless you have any questions right now about the soap, we're going to see if we can't get back with Amber. Thanks so much, Twiggy, really, for helping out tonight.
No problem, Mel.
Okay, no, I have a question about the soap.
Go ahead.
So if you're taking a shower and you lather up, you don't rinse it off?
Nope.
Not even out of your hair?
You shower. Yeah, I mean, you know when you lather up during your shower, you want to use all your regular soap that you normally use, whether it's peppermint or whatever, and you want to rinse all that off, yeah. You want to go about your normal showering routine, of course, but it's when you get out of the shower, when you're still wet, is when you apply it.
Okay.
So,
or you can stand in the shower and apply it, and then go about whatever else you might have to do in the bathroom. But you must let it air dry. It's got to dry on your body. You cannot remove it. The benefit comes long-lasting from allowing it to ingest itself into the pores of your skin and open them up to make it less painful, less itching, and more effective.
Even in your hair as well?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't really put it in my hair, but Twiggy does.
Yeah, I do. It makes it feel really soft and, like, manageable. Like, I'll use it to style my hair even because I brush it back. So, and I notice it pulls things to the surface of my hair, too.
Now, can you use, like, just say if you want to style your hair, like mousses or styling gels on top of that?
I personally don't use any mousses or styling gels because I'm scared of, like, the chemicals in them, and I want to do no harm to my body. But whatever you use, you can put on top of that, even the coconut oil. I let my body heal overnight using this soap, and then in the morning I use the coconut oil so that it gives my time. It helps with lesions, so it gives my body time to heal. And then I use the coconut oil as well. But you can put whatever you want on top of this, yeah.
Right, but I would be careful during your time of illness that you look at the labels of what you're spraying into your head, because you don't need to be harmful chemicals on top of your body trying to fight off a disease. You have to be more careful than you've been in the past.
Right, that's what I was saying. I don't use any mousses or anything to style my hair besides coconut oil, and I don't wear any kind of cosmetics or anything like that, you know? It's just something I don't want to cause any, you know, bad reactions in my skin or my skin to absorb anything that might harm it.
Okay. Any more questions about the soap tonight?
Yes. I have one question. This is Freeman. When you're done using the sponge, do you throw the sponge away or you can reuse it?
I
put it in my MMS. Like when I either if I'm taking when I'm taking an MMS bath because I'm past 6 months on the protocol, I'll take it in my MMS bath with me and soak with it, or I'll just throw it in my laundry with my MMS when I'm cleaning my clothes. That's what I do.
I've got one of these big ocean sponges with a cord, and believe it or not, I just hang it and reuse it all the time. I don't go through. But then again, I'm not ill anymore, so, you know, there are things that I do now that I might not have done then. But it depends. Everybody, again, is a little bit different, and whatever makes you comfortable is what you should do, because peace of mind is very important.
Amen.
Okay. Any other questions on the soap before we try to get Miss Amber back to say hello?
I have a question. Go ahead. So in terms of reinfection, and Twiggy, I love your post, by the way. I'm really glad to hear from you.
Thank you.
In terms of reinfection, throwing the sponge out maybe periodically, would that be kind of – I'm not even using a sponge, actually. I use a nylon cloth. Would you recommend maybe replacing that, like, every couple weeks, or
I do replace my sponge, just mainly because not just because of this disease, but because of, like, I'm not really scared of reinfection because all the soaps I use with the sponge, like peppermint and everything else, is disinfecting the sponge. But just you should throw out your sponge every few weeks because it's prone to mold and everything like that. At least the sponge I use, because I use, like, a cheap dollar store sponge. But like Mel said, everyone is different with their comfort zone. So everyone does everything a little bit differently, whether you want to put your sponge in MMS, whether you want to throw it out every few weeks, or whether you're okay with using the same sponge. It all depends on your approach and what you're comfortable with, you know?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Mel, can I just say one quick thing? I just want to say what we have here, I'm just duly impressed with Twiggy and how much reading she's obviously done on the site. What you folks have here is a person that's got everything right, has got everything in order, and it comes from the time she spent on the site. Congratulations, Twiggy. I think you're definitely a candidate for success, and I applaud you for the manner in which you are letting your detox unfold. Read, folks. Mel tells us these things for a reason. Sorry, I had to say that.
Thank you so much, Peter. That means a lot to me. It really does. And, yeah, I do. I spend a lot of time on the site still, and I'm, you know, 7 months in. You know, I read every single day, and I make sure I'm up to date with everything. You know, I don't really mess around. It's something that is not an option for me. I want to get better. So, and you're one of the people that have helped me get better. So thank you for that, and thank you so much for the support.
Well,
all righty then. Say what?
I said, well said, both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Two people that are, you know, not, you know, that, you know, we're gonna hear any day from Peter that he's cured. Okay, he's just a little gun shy. And there's no doubt.
I am cured from Morgellons. I believe I'm dealing with, you know, Lyme and the fact that I've had Hep C the majority of my life, which is a very difficult infection to deal with. So one of these days, though, these cysts are getting there. You'll be hearing from me real soon. I just have a little bit longer baseline, but I'm well, folks. Believe me, this protocol gets you well. With God's blessing and God's blessing. He has fulfilled the promise for this guy, but it takes the kind of diligence it put in and the kind of reading and the kind of approaches. You know, there is no silver bullet. There's one course and one path, and it's the miracle and the mystery of John's products and Mel's protocol, putting them in place. And it's as simple as that. And then having the patience to do what Mel tells us to do, you know, slow and steady some of the parts. You know, I say it every time I'm on these calls. Mel got it right, and he still gets it right. And you'd fare well to listen to him, to read, and to pay attention to all the things this website has to offer. And thanks, Mel, for putting this thing together. It's been another wonderful conference call.
All right, well, if we can get Amber back. Miss Amber, come in. All right. Yeah, that's much better. Hi, how you doing?
Good, okay. Good.
Your name is?
Hi, Amber.
And what would you like to talk about tonight? People can read about you in Children and Morgellons, right? We're having a very tough time hearing you, Amber.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. You know what? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We've been running almost an hour and a half tonight, Amber, and we're going to do another show in about 3 weeks with the people from Sovereign Silver. So how about we bring you back then and see if we can get you, because I want to tape what you got to say, young lady. It's important.
Okay.
Okay, now that's better.
Can you help?
All right. Am I the only one who hears her breaking up?
No, she's breaking up.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Amber, you are breaking up. We're going to bring you back in a couple of weeks if that's okay with you. Okay. Okay. So, I'm going to say that we're going to open up for 8 or 10 minutes and we're going to answer any questions that we can. So if you have a question now, even though it might not be related to the show, we've made a habit of doing this at the end of each show, trying to field questions for those in order to help dissipate the anxiety and fear. So if there are any questions, shoot them out.
I have a question. Is this Freeman again?
Okay, I know who it is. Your voice is unmistakable. Except, you know, I thought you told me that your name was Free, and I found that so amusing.
Oh yeah, it is Free. I have a couple new names. I have.
Okay, so
Free.
Then I was right. I heard right last show. Okay, go ahead, Freeman.
Yeah. All right. It's Free Freeman, Free Fro. You know what I'm saying? Anything you want to go with. You know what I'm saying? That was a bad joke. Anyway, so with shoes, how do you guys clean your shoes?
I sprayed them with MMS.
Okay.
You can spray them with Clean Green.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, because I've been destroying dryers, man. I've been destroying all my shoes and everything.
No. You don't have to do that. You don't have to destroy your clothes, nor your shoes, nor throw out the furniture. You just have to get better. And it all goes away. But in the meantime, you spray the shoes with Clean Green or MMS, and you're good.
All right, perfect.
Perfect. Next.
I have a question, Mel.
Go ahead.
At what point do you know that you have rid yourself of this disease?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. You asked me. Let me answer now. My doctor said I was better 3 months before I was ready to say I was better. And what do I mean by that? Well, Dr. Zamboni said she can't believe it, you know. He doesn't have what he had, even if I really don't know what it was. And then it took me 3 months to be off antibiotics. Antibiotics. MMS. And I had nothing happened. Nothing came back. Nothing I couldn't believe it. Then I said, I am cured. So, like Ellen said, she still takes supplements. I still take the basic protocol because I'm almost 70 years old, and yet I still go surfing, you know? So, I mean, and I eat better than I did, even though I tease you guys all the time and tell you I'm cooking chicken parmesan every time I call. It's not true. You got to go back to the way on the things you loved, but with great moderation. You want to stay well. You cannot do what you did when you got sick.
But what did you do, like, or what would you suggest a person do to monitor blood levels and their pH when you don't have a doctor?
Well, you go, okay, time out. Peter's just getting ready to do, he did a blood panel, a very basic blood panel that Dr. Zamboni ran on Peter when she met him. And now Peter's doing it because he believes he's better, and they want to compare these. At the bottom of the protocol page, we list the tests that don't cost extra on your insurance that'll give you just as good as an outline of what's going on as any $700 test from people who might not even know what they're doing.
Okay.
So you go down to the bottom of the protocol page and you read what's down there, and if you have any questions, you send me an email.
Okay, I might add to that. I put in one of my last posts, it's real important to ask your doctor to explain those different markers that you'll see, and Mel's put them on the webpage for you folks. And I think if you understand what those markers represent and have a discussion with your physician about them at the very least, I think that'll give you a lot in terms of realizing just how far along you are in recovery. And I can tell you, short of a blood test for those people able to have them, Mel taught me this also. Look to your energy levels. Look to your mental clarity. Look to tests that you used to take for granted that when you were sick were definitely compromised, those returning, because those are indicators that that you're definitely getting well, and it's important to pay attention to those things. Thanks, Mel. I just wanted to add that they can find those markers down there, you know, on the
website. Thank you.
Yeah. Have the discussion with your physician, folks, so you understand what they represent. It lifts you up to know that your markers are where they should be, because they're definitely not when you're sick with this disease. So.
Okay. Any other questions?
Mel, I have a question. This is Kate.
Go ahead. Hi.
Yes, my question is for Peter, actually.
Dynamite.
Peter, I understand that you feel you have Lyme as well as Morgellons. Are you possibly taking antibiotics while you're doing the protocol?
Well, the simple answer to that is no, because I wanted to prove to myself and to demonstrate to all of you that for those of us that couldn't afford antibiotics or didn't have health care before, Obamacare, that we could do it without that. And I've used olive leaf, and as far as the Lyme, I think many of you know I'm supplementing just two basic tinctures that I'm using to work on the Lyme end of it. But I waited until I was at 2 years on the protocol to know to a certainty that I had other co-infections involved. I hope that's a simple answer to your question. I hope that answers your question. I don't believe you need, I don't believe in pharmaceuticals of any kind, because I think it's like follow the money. If you follow the pharmaceutical back, you can usually find a phenol or an organic plant acid that it was derived and synthesized from, so why not go to the source? Once again, this is something I learned from my mentor, John. And I look to Herodotus, who says, let your medicine be your food and your food be your medicine. So, and if you're not acting as your own physician, you're a fool. So these are things that I hold dear to my heart, and I think that we can do this, do this just by letting, because my goal is to have my body, when I'm well from this, be able to take care of any future reinfection crisis that might arise. I want natural immunity, and I think that's the proper course for it. I don't think pharmaceuticals give you that, so. I know Mel used Bactrin. Bactrin's probably good. I'm at the point, frustration-wise, where I've thought about it, but I still refuse. I still am committed to doing this, just through the Logos supplement.
Well, I also have Lyme, Peter, and with that said, I think you would find frustration even with the antibiotics. So I appreciate
it. It's just like
your
it takes patience. It takes patience, folks.
Yes.
That's the key to this. It's not the same for everybody. You have to look at genetics. You have to look at past history with toxicity. In my case, drugs and alcohol. You have to look to the geographical area you are. You have to look to lifestyle, past diets. So a lot of factors come into play. The main thing is it's different for everyone. Make you, you know, understand the disease, learn as much as you can from the website, stay committed to the Logos products and the protocol that Mel provides for us, and continue to pay it forward here. That's the winning equation, believe me. And you get there, and you know when you're feeling better and you're thinking right, that you'll definitely know when it's going away, believe me. And then, like everyone said here tonight, the environment cleans up. Everything falls back into place. The greater challenge at that point, folks, is to not lose an appreciation for your returning health, to fall back into old ways, to keep in relationship with God and to be of service to others and the greater ministry for those that are still suffering behind you. That's the thought I would leave everyone with. But this plan gets you well, bottom line.
That's awesome, man. That gets me amped. That gets me amped, son. That gets me amped, yo, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing better than praising the Lord, man. Like it says in the Word, you know, through tribulation comes perseverance, through perseverance comes character, and through character comes hope, and hope never disappoints. And that's the one thing, like, I'm so grateful for this because, you know, it renewed
hope
my...
Hope is only the beginning.
Yeah. Tell it how it is, man. Say it with your chest, son.
I do say it with my chest. Hope is only the beginning. All right, let's see if we got any more questions.
Share you're getting well with us, Freeman, and pay it forward by staying involved in this community. That's what we are.
For sure, man, for sure. You know, and I appreciate that. And I know that the Lord's going to hold me accountable to that as well because, you know, he definitely allows us to go through situations not for ourselves but for others and to show at the end of the day that we only can go through it through his glory and his grace. And that's it. And that's what life is about, is to glorify God and to serve him. And definitely, like you said it just now, is exactly how it should be and how it's supposed to be. And I know that I'm held accountable to that. You know what I'm saying? I'm grateful for that accountability because it just makes me a more of a godly man and brings me to be humble and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. So,
and with that, keep him accountable to helping me clean the house and also cooking when I'm extremely tired.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any more questions?
Yes.
Then I'm going.
Cynthia. Hi, Mel.
Hi, Cynthia.
Actually, this question is for John. On Friday,
good.
My doctor told me that my vitamin D levels were low. And even though I've been on the at that time I was on the protocol maybe for like 3 weeks. Do I need to take extra MagnaCal or should I take more vitamin D? Because they're recommending like 2,000 units or something. John? Hello?
Was that directed at me, Mel?
Yes, for you, John, about vitamins.
Okay.
Say it again slowly, young lady. Cynthia.
Sure. My doctor called me on Friday, and he said that my vitamin D levels were low, even though I was already on protocol for like 3 weeks with the MagnaCal. Do I need to take more MagnaCal, or should I take extra vitamin D supplements? I'm not sure what to do with that.
Hi, Cynthia. Thank you. That's an excellent question. Yeah, if you're showing low vitamin D levels, and many people do, especially people with any kind of chronic immune suppression, it's fine for you to take additional vitamin D. Just make sure it's high quality. That would be vitamin D3.
Okay.
Vitamin D is one of the fat-soluble vitamins. A, D, E, and K are fat-soluble, so you can overdo things with them, but you really have to try very hard to do that. So in the short term, you can load up on, I mean, there are a lot of natural doctors that are giving people crazy doses of D, which I don't really recommend. But certainly doubling, tripling up on the daily recommended intake is perfectly fine and safe. And even large doses are safe in the short term.
It's Twiggy. Can I say something?
Yep.
I was extremely low on vitamin D as well, like to the point where my vitamin D was like 15, and they were surprised I was living with my vitamin D level. And so, of course, they gave me about like 2,000 to 3,000 units of vitamin D when I was first initially sick and looking to, you know, correct my levels. And with that, I also did spend hours outside in the sunlight. Not only did that help my depression and my levels, but that also was a major help in with this disease as well. Like, you want to go outside as much as you can and soak up that vitamin D for your skin and your health and everything like that. So, you know, like Peter said, food is your medicine, as well as, you know, your environment can be your medicine as well, you know, with natural ways of getting your vitamins. So that might help as well with a lot of things, not just your vitamin D.
Okay. That helps, Cynthia?
Yeah, it sure did. Thanks, Mo.
Okay. Well, do we have any more questions before I ask John to lead us in a prayer and say goodnight?
I have one question.
Okay.
All right. What's happening lately is when I'm washing my hair, I'm losing a lot of my hair, and I know that that can be a symptom of the thyroid. So I was on like four different prescription medicines, and I've stopped taking them, but I'm wondering about the thyroid medicine, whether I should continue it, or whether following the protocol, you know, over time. It's been a month and a half for me, so it hasn't been a lot of time, but whether that will work everything out and you know, treat.
Okay, that's a good question, and I think John should answer that, because one of the ingredients in the formula is specifically designed for that. John?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me say this. I will remind everyone, I'm not a medical doctor, and definitely don't want to get in between you and your medical doctor. When it comes to medications, there are some medications that it is very important not to fool around with as far as starting, stopping doses and so forth. And thyroid is unfortunately one of those. When you make changes in thyroid medication, they should be slow, gradual changes, because it's, the thyroid is the master gland of your endocrine system. And, you know, when you start using drugs that strongly influence it, it has a cascading effect throughout the body. I'm assuming what you're referring to that you were taking is Synthroid. Is that correct?
This is levothyroxine, 25 mcg.
Yeah, that's Synthroid. Okay. Yeah, that's the, you know, typical prescription of what you would find for, you know, Western medical doctors that recognize you have a thyroid issue would put you on Synthroid. My opinion of how to best take care of thyroids is a little bit different, and I got this opinion from my father, who was a medical doctor, and he was an OBGYN, so obviously his whole goal was normalizing hormonal physiology in the body, and in women especially, that definitely includes the thyroid, because, you know, as the thyroid goes, so goes everything else. At any rate, there's two ways to do it. The traditional medical way, Western medicine at this point, is to give you Synthroid, which is a synthetic version of levothyroxine, and that's basically sending a message to your thyroid to go to sleep. We don't need you anymore. We're replacing you with this synthetic hormone. And my father's approach was a little different, and he used glandular therapy. And Mel alluded to that fact. The thymic formula has glandulars in it. It doesn't have any thyroid, but it does. It has thymus and spleen and raw lymph and pituitary, all of which have a beneficial effect on the endocrine system, the glandular system in the body. With thyroid, though, you can either take Synthroid, which tells the thyroid go to sleep, or you can take full spectrum raw glandular thyroid, which basically says, wake up. Here are the nutrients that you need to do your job. Figure it out. And over time, your thyroid will figure it out, and it will start to work the way it's supposed to in most cases, unless there are underlying mineral deficiencies like magnesium or selenium or most especially iodine. So it's a bit of a tightrope, a balancing act, if you will, to get people's thyroid working right. Because of that, they need thyroid hormones from glandulars, but they also often need those underlying minerals to be balanced for everything to work. Not to mention, the adrenals can complicate matters, and most people with Morgellons are suffering with adrenal exhaustion as well. So all that being said, it is kind of a balancing act to work through issues with your thyroid. And that is one particular case where it's very helpful to have a physician who understands these things that can kind of walk down that path with you and take a look at the underlying mineral deficiencies and so forth. But to answer all that being said, to answer your question, if you're being used to taking Synthroid especially and you stop it, then your body is left saying, what happened? You said I didn't need my thyroid anymore, and now I don't have enough thyroid hormone, so your cells are literally tired. I mean, not only are you tired at the personal level, but your cells themselves are tired. So you definitely probably are going to want to get back on the Synthroid, and I would go back on it gradually. But whoever the doctor is that puts you on it, you might want to visit them again and just, you know, revisit that whole situation. There are other things like high blood pressure medicine. It's not really smart to go off and on and that sort of thing. Statin drugs, same kind of thing. You have to wean yourself off of them slowly if you're on, God forbid. But it's a complex thing, and the more medications you're on, the more complex it gets.
You okay?
The full spectrum that you mentioned, is that a brand name?
What, the Synthroid? Yeah, that's a brand name. There are.
You mentioned full spectrum, and then you said something.
That's just a descriptive term. What I mean is a full spectrum glandular being a raw processed glandular that has all the hormones that God put into thyroids, not just levothyroxine. But for as far as names go, there's Armour thyroid, which is a full spectrum glandular. There's Nature thyroid, which is even better. Armour used to be the standard, but Nature's thyroid is, as far as clinical efficacy, the best thing going right now, as far as I know.
What's the second word after Nature?
Nature thyroid. It's the word Nature followed by throid. If your doctor doesn't know what Nature thyroid is, then he's probably not going to be able to help you much with the thyroid problem.
Okay.
All right. Does that help you?
Yes. Thank you.
Good. We're going to hold up now on questions because we're way over, or almost at 2 hours, and I want people to listen to this. But we're going to field more questions than less than a month with the next conference call that's coming up called Why Sovereign Silver. So with that being said, I'd like to thank all the people that participated, asked questions, especially our guests, even Amber, who we'll hook up with next time. Peter, as always, my younger brother, John, my teacher, my mentor, would you lead us in a good night prayer?
I would love to. Father God, Lord, we just thank you. We give you praise and glory for the time we've had tonight. We thank you for your presence here in our midst. This is definitely clear that you have been with us and you're you're always with us. We love you, Lord. We can't begin to perform the duties that you would have us do without you. We thank you, Lord, for the strengths you've given us and restraint. We thank you for those weaknesses you've given us, because we know that those weaknesses keep us dependent on you. Lord, I lift up every person who is with us tonight and those who will be hearing this call later. I ask that you would, Lord, let them feel your presence. Let them feel your incredible love for them. And fill them with your spirit, Lord, and give them that peace that passes all understanding, that is not dependent on their circumstances. Lord, we thank you that you have brought Mel, and that you made Mel, incredible determination that he has to serve you and to serve others. We thank you for that. And Lord, we just we praise you. We thank you that there is hope, that there is life on the other side of this incredibly challenging thing that we all have come to call Morgellons. But for those who are on the other side of it, Lord, they know they can look back and see your face and see your faithfulness. And I just praise you that that is something that everyone here listening can have, if they'll just invite you into their heart and allow you to work miracles in their lives like you have for Mel and for a lot of others here. Well, no, I couldn't function a minute without you. So we thank you again, Lord. We give you honor. We give you glory. Go before us and give us your continued protection and provision, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good night, everybody, and thank you so much. We'll be back in less.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mel.
You're welcome. God bless you all. Let's all get better together.
Hopefully soon, God willing.